Turn the Word of God this morning to the Acts of the Apostles. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. I'm beginning to read from verse 1. Verse 1 down to verse 14. Acts chapter 1, begin to read at verse 1, down to verse 14, please. Let's hear the word of God. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Amen. And in a reading there at verse 14, knowing that God will bless the public reading of his word to all our hearts for his name's sake. Let's unite our hearts in prayer, please, just before we come to God's word for this morning. Just taking a few moments to still ourselves and asking the Lord to prepare our own hearts and to prepare my heart as we come to look at God's word. It's the most important part of any service. The preaching of the word. Let's just still ourselves and draw near to the Lord. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we now come to the most important part of this service. We thank thee for all that has taken place thus far. But Father in heaven, we pray now that in a very real way, thou would now close us in with God. Purge the atmosphere in the blood of the Lamb. O Father in heaven, we pray that thou would bind the strong man, that thou would prepare all our hearts to receive thy word, that thou would bring the hush of eternity over the gathering. Father, I freely confess my complete unworthiness, my complete inadequacy to deal with the remainder of this meeting. And Father, to this end, I lay myself now before God. And I pray, my Father, that thou would wash me completely in Jesus' blood, rid me of the flesh and of pride, of anything that would hinder in this meeting. Fill me with the Holy Ghost and with power, that Christ might be glorified, that God's name might be exalted, that the kingdom of grace might be extended and Satan's kingdom destroyed. For we pray these things in Jesus' name, that the Lamb might have all the glory, as he does in Emmanuel's land. Amen. Amen.
The setting in Acts 1, the Lord Jesus has died and rose again and has appeared to Mary Magdalene and to the disciples and to those two on the road to Emmaus. Verse 3 of chapter 1, if you want to look there, shows us that to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, speaking of the apostles, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus has walked and talked with the disciples again. He has eaten and drank with them all infallible proofs of his resurrection. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that the Lord also appeared to above 500 brethren at once. However, soon the Lord is to go back to heaven. The disciples will walk no longer face to face, as it were, with the Lord. The Lord had told the disciples of this day many times. The Lord had said it was expedient that he go away. That means profitable. For the Lord said in John 14 and verse 16 that he would pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The Lord has been explaining to the disciples the ministry of the Holy Ghost that is so essential for their future lives, or for the future life of any believer. Peter has now been restored after his denial. The Lord has spoken words of kindness to his failing disciples. And here in Acts 1, the Lord gives them his final exhortation. 3 years they've walked with the Lord. They've listened to the Lord pray. They've heard him preach. They've watched the Lord, who knew no sin, could not sin, didn't sin, deal with every situation properly and perfectly. But now the Lord's returning to glory. He's going back to heaven. Now Peter and James and John, these list of names that we have here in verse 13, Bartholomew, Thomas, Philip, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, Judas the brother of James, they're about to walk by faith, not by sight. You see, look here, as he does at the end of chapter 24, he records the final words of the Lord Jesus, chapter 24 of his Gospel, Luke's Gospel. And he says in verse 4 and 5 here of Acts 1 that being assembled together with them, speaking of the Lord Jesus, he's repeating what he said already in Luke 24, that he commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days since. The Lord, or the disciples then, begin to discuss with the Lord about setting up the kingdom of Israel. And he immediately says to them, it's not for them to know that, the times that the Father have put in his power. And then the Lord encourages them in verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. It was well said by Matthew Henry, the biblical commentator on this, that Christ continued doing and teaching to the last until he was taken up to the other work he had to do within the veil. You see, the reason that there is power for the child of God is that Christ is enthroned in glory. When John the Baptist made that great statement that the Lord Jesus would baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire, the great truth in view there was that the ascended, glorified Christ has the authority to dispense the Holy Ghost. Pentecost, if you like, is the evidence that the sacrifice of Christ is accepted, that Christ now rules and reigns in glory. The great theme of the book of Acts is the risen, ascended Christ ruling in his church. Christ by his Spirit working through the apostles on earth. Some believe, I was reading Dr. Kern's book of theological terms yesterday, some believe the book should actually be called the Acts of the Risen, glorified Christ through the apostles. You see, the power of the Holy Ghost
given at Pentecost proved that Christ was the Son of God, that Christ is the Saviour of the world. So today, I do wish to look at verse 8. Verse 8 of Acts chapter 1. I want to look at it under the title, The Power of the Holy Ghost, Our Great Need, sent by a risen and glorified Christ. The power of the Holy Ghost, our great need, sent by a risen and glorified Christ. First of all, I want to look at the person of the Holy Ghost. The Bible teaches there are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Catechism goes on to say these three are one God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. This is seen at Christ's baptism, the three persons of the Godhead. They're also referred to in Christ's great commission to the church in Matthew 28. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You see, the Holy Spirit is as truly a person as the Father and the Son. As I've already said, the Lord Jesus had told the disciples that he was going back to heaven, but that he was going to send another comforter who should take his place, a teacher, a helper, a protector. He was going to supply the want that when Christ was leaving, this thought that was filling these disciples with dismay, it was filling them with fear. But the Lord had told them not to fear, because he was going to send another comforter. That word another, it means another of the same type. Another comforter that would abide with them forever. But we must get it clear, friends, that the Holy Spirit is not a presence or an energy. The Holy Spirit is a person. Whenever the Lord Jesus was speaking about the coming of the Holy Ghost in John 14 and 15 and 16, he continually used the masculine pronoun he. In John 14, Jesus said, he will abide with you forever. In John 14, 26, he shall testify of me. In John 16, Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. The Lord made it clear in the teaching of the Word of God, of course, is that the Holy Spirit is the person as the Father and as the Son are. He's not an influence or an energy, as some people would have us think. The Holy Spirit was lied to in Acts 5. You can't lie to an energy. The Holy Spirit was lied to Ananias and Sapphira. Paul warned the church in Ephesus not to grieve the Holy Ghost. Not to grieve the Holy Ghost. And there those expressions reflect personality, a person. And also the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is God, the incommunicable attributes and acts of creation and providence are ascribed to the Spirit. Divine attributes, omniscience, all-knowing, omnipotence, all-powerful, are given to him. The name of God is given to him in Acts 5. We've already referred to it where Ananias was charged not with lying to men, but having lied to God. Divine worship is also given to him. And friends, to quote Charles Spurgeon in this, he said, the greatest fault of saints is to neglect the Holy Ghost. And then he exhorts that we adore him, that we yield to him, confide in him, and pray that we may know him to the full. And as the work of the Holy Spirit, as a person of the Godhead, his work's to glorify Christ. His work is to apply redemption, work faith in us, convict of sin, regenerate the heart, quicken. The Holy Spirit indwells all believers, bears witness with our spirit that we're the sons of God, teaches and guides us, comforts us. All these things, friends, just way of introduction to the person of the Holy Ghost that the Lord has told the disciples, that they will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon them. But that's what I want to look at for a moment now, the power of the Holy Ghost. Ye shall receive power,
Jesus said, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That word power, it means ability, it means might, it means strength. It's the same word as translated might in Ephesians chapter 3. And Paul there, he's speaking to the church in Ephesus, that church that's been brought out of idolatry, that church that was born amidst the riots in that city. And Paul's saying that he's praying to God that they might be strengthened with might by a spirit in the inner man. Paul's prayer was that these believers in Ephesus, might receive power, communicate it to them through the Holy Ghost, power to live for Christ, power to live the Christian life, that they might be made strong, that they might be strengthened with a might that was not of themselves. You see, the Lord knows these disciples. He knows what they're like. He knows what we're all like. Our feelings. How our own strength fails us. Peter could have testified to that. Though he didn't think it could have happened, but it happened. His strength failed him. He denied the Lord. And how often we try to go through this Christian life doing things in our own strength, never seeking the Lord, never waiting in the Lord for strength. You see, the Lord knows them so well, and their failings, and their fears. And he tells them not to depart from Jerusalem until they're given the power, the promise of the Father. Turn with me, please, to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And here the Lord is speaking to these disciples. They're just like the rest of us. Sea of fishermen. Sea of tax collector. Just men. And the Lord says to them in verse 26, John 15:26, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Friends, what's the setting? What's the setting in this 15th chapter of John? The Lord Jesus has just told the disciples that the world hated him, and that the world would hate them also. That they were going to face persecution. That there were going to be trials come their way. That there were going to be difficulties in the future. But yet he explains to them the great effectual provision that was given to them to help them through. And that was the coming of the promised Holy Ghost. The promised Holy Ghost. But the Lord says they're to wait for this power. They're to wait for it. They're to pray for it. They're to seek the Lord for it. The Lord is to be entreated of them for this matter. When the Lord told them in verse 4, they're not to depart, they're to wait. You see, the Lord was telling them that he would send the Holy Ghost in John 20. In fact, if you want to turn there, John 20. And here's Christ risen from the dead, John 20, verse 21. The disciples are in the upper room and they're full of fears. They're full of fears. And verse 21 tells us, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father have sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." You see, friends, the Lord Jesus carried out his ministry under the power of the Holy Ghost. He carried out his earthly ministry under the power of the Spirit. And the Lord Jesus personally abstained from one step of his ministry until the Spirit descended upon him at his baptism. And here the Lord's telling the disciples that they're to tarry, that they're to wait until he sends the promised Holy Ghost. And then he breathed on them in this upper room and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Why did he do that? He breathed on them to show them that he would send the Holy Spirit. That he would send the Holy Ghost. Dear friends, this morning, had those apostles omitted to continue with one accord in prayer? Had they decided, no, we're fine. We'll just go on out and we'll do the work of the Lord without waiting before the Lord. Without praying, their labor would have been to no avail. Their labor would have been to no avail at all. You see, friend, only those who wait before the Lord, wait before the Lord before they work for the Lord, speak to the Lord before they speak for the Lord, only those really see any work done. That's a lesson to us all this morning. That's a lesson for us all as we seek to live for the Lord, as we seek to walk with the Lord. We're told here and we're learning very clearly what the Lord's will is for us this morning in 2009. And friend, that's what the church needs. That's what every individual needs. That's what I need. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need it to rest upon our ministry. We need it to rest upon us as we go about our daily lives. We need to wait before the Lord, before we work for the Lord. Turn with me, please, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. Again, we'll come back to this church here in Ephesus. And Paul's speaking to them. Paul's speaking to them, Ephesians chapter 5. And in verse 18, he says to them, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And Paul uses two contrasts here. He says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess." And friend, you know what a drink does to a drunk man? It affects his speech. It affects his walk. It affects his behavior. It affects how he thinks. It affects everything about him. And so Paul's telling this church, these believers, they're not to be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but they're to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Because friend, when a man is filled with the Holy Ghost, it affects his walk. It affects his speech. It affects how he thinks. It affects how he lives. It gives him courage. It gives him strength. Friend, Paul said, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, be filled with the Spirit." These disciples, the Lord's telling them, wait. Wait on the Lord. Let me just speak of this for a moment, dear believer, and let's ask ourselves all these things. Did you this morning, do we every morning ask the Lord Jesus to fill us with His Spirit for that day? Did we pray that this morning? Do we seek the Lord for that every day? Because here we've been shown very clearly in Acts 1 that is the Lord's will for His people. That we be filled with the Holy Ghost. That we know that power to live for the Lord. What an effect that would make in society. The Lord's people, knowing the power of the Holy Ghost. Dear believer, make it your prayer every day. Lord, grant me that power. Grant me this power to live for the Lord. You see, these disciples, they've been envious. They're always envious of each other. Right to this moment, who would be the greatest? Who would be the greatest among them? And it all turned out to be all of the flesh. Because whenever they had the opportunity to stand, they all fled. They all fled. And how often, friends, and I speak of myself, how often our mouths should be open and they're not. And there's times they should be shut and they're open. We're always talking when we should be quiet. Quiet when we should be talking. Just like these disciples. The Lord tells them, tarry. Tarry. Wait for the power of the Holy Ghost. Seek the Lord for this. You see, friend, envy and all those strifes are, they're not of God. It's of the flesh. Pride, envy, Galatians 5 tells us, is the fruit of the flesh. But love and peace, gentleness, meekness, it's the fruit of the Spirit. Christ said, "I am lowly and meek." Christ was filled with the Holy Ghost without measure. No envy, no pride, We need to wait, we need to pray, we need to seek the Lord for the Holy Ghost. But friend, there's a warning in this text. There's a warning here in Acts chapter 1. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You see, friend, let us not forget, as I said at the beginning, that the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God, therefore He's a jealous God. He's grieved by our sin. Paul warns time and time again against grieving the Holy Ghost, against quenching Him, against losing out with God because you've grieved the Holy Ghost. Oh friend, remember, the workplace, wherever we are, don't grieve the Holy Ghost. Your conversation, what we watch on the television, the Bible warns, don't grieve the Holy Ghost. Maybe you're here this morning and you've lost out with the Lord and you know it. And if you have lost out with the Lord, you will know it. And the fire is not burning as once it burned. And you've grieved the Lord. Some sin or other has come into your life. You're not prepared to part with it. You've grieved the Lord and His presence has departed from you. My friend, turn with me to Joshua 23. I was noting this week in my daily readings and it really struck me. Joshua chapter 23. And here's Joshua and he's bringing a word of warning to the people. Things are going well for them. And the Lord's with them and He's driving out the enemy before them. And in verse 11 of Joshua 23, Joshua says, "Take good heed therefore unto yourselves. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God." And in verse 13, he tells them why. "For if you do not know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you." The Lord's warning them. Don't lose the presence of the Lord. Don't lose the presence of the Lord in your life. But cleave to Him. Cleave to Him, as verse 8 says, cleave unto the Lord your God. And friend, how do we cleave unto the Lord? We live our life by that book. We live our life by the book. We let that book rule us and guide us. And let it be our practice. Cleave unto the Lord. That word cleave there in verse 8 is the exact same word as is used in Genesis 2:24. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife." It's the same word as used in Ruth 1:14, where Naomi tells Ruth and Orpah to depart and to go back. We read there that Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth cleaved onto her. Ruth cleaved onto her. Oh friend, dear child of God, here we see the Lord's will. Cleave onto the Lord. Don't lose His presence. Don't lose His power. Don't lose His presence in your life. Maybe you are here. Let me just go back to that. And you've lost out with the Lord. And friend, if we're all honest, it happens to us all at some time. We grow cold. We grow cold and indifferent to the things of God. And maybe that's where you find yourself this morning. The Lord tells you this morning to come back to the Lord. Whatever the sin is, friend, put it away. Get rid of it. Let it rob you no longer. Let it rob you no longer of the blessing in your life. Man, woman, and meeting, do not think it's robbed you long enough. It has robbed you long enough of what you once were for God and what you once were in the work of God. The Lord says to you this morning, cleave unto the Lord. Wait on the Lord. If there needs to be repentance, turning from the sin. In fact, if there is sin, there needs to be repentance. It's got to go. It's got to go. The world may share your heart, friend, but God will not share your heart. God will not share your heart. He'll love all of you. He'll love all of you. It needs to be repentance. But very quickly, and back to Acts chapter 1. There was the person of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost. Now there's the purpose of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, "Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea." The purpose of the Holy Ghost, ye shall be witnesses unto me. You glorify Christ. You'll serve the Lord. You see, we live in an age when people tell us that the sign that a man or woman is full of the Holy Ghost is they speak in tongues. Or they have some of these other charismatic false gifts. Friend, the sign of a man or woman being filled of the Holy Ghost is they speak of Christ. There's likeness to Christ. John the Baptist, full of the Holy Ghost, saw the Lord coming across the plains of Judea. What did he cry? "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God." There's the sign of a man or woman full of the Holy Ghost. And the purpose that the Lord's telling them why they need the power of the Holy Ghost is they're going to be witnesses unto Him. They're going to be witnesses unto the Lord. Oh, they had preached already. They had preached already. But you see, the Lord knows what's coming. The Lord knows what great day ahead is for this servant, these servants of the Lord. The Lord knows that Pentecost's coming. 3,000 souls saved because they were going to be the witnesses of the Lord in soul winning. 3,000 souls saved at Pentecost. 5,000 souls saved in Acts 4. Multitudes saved in Acts 5. And the Lord tells them right at the beginning of the book, "Wait on the Lord. Get before the Lord. There's great things going to happen. You need the power of the Holy Ghost. You need the power of the Holy Ghost." These witnesses that we're going to experience these things, these disciples, a few days earlier had fled the Master. They'd fled. Now they're living in the days of revival. Why? Because they got to the Lord. Christ, they saw Christ was on the throne, ruling, reigning in heaven. They avail themselves of an open heaven. And they get to the Lord, to the power of God in their life. That's where it started. They're now God's witnesses and soul winning. God's witnesses. Their message was simple. They preached Christ. They preached a crucified Savior. One who rose again, ascended into glory. That He is Lord and very Christ. And through Him is preached the forgiveness of sin. They were going to be His witnesses. The purpose of the Holy Ghost. But then, friends, they were also going to be Christ's witnesses in persecution. Turn with me to Acts 4, verse 3. Acts 4, verse 3. We live in an age again, let me say this, when the charismatic tells us if you are going through persecution or trouble in your life, well, then you're just completely out of God's will. That is completely unscriptural. Here is men here. Acts 4, verse 3. And the chief priests have laid hands on them. They're taken into hold. Verse 6 tells us that Annas and the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power, what name have you done this?" And look at verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. Here's that man. That Galilean fisherman, a few days earlier, before a maid, said, "I know him not." A few days earlier, I don't know that man. I know not the man. A few days earlier, friends, when I was speaking to one this morning, a few days earlier, and Peter had used language that he hadn't used since before he got saved. Cursing and swearing. And here he is. Verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, stands up. Speaks for Christ. Speaks for the Lord. You see, Peter has learned the lesson that the work of God cannot be done. The work of God can't be done in the flesh. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. Dear child of God, every one of us must meet and need it.
Let's be honest, our land is in darkness, spiritual darkness, and we love our land, and we love our country. But Protestantism is as dark getting as Romanism. And we need reformation. We need a move of God in all our hearts, and I need it in mine. We need the power of the Holy Ghost upon our lives. We need to be repentance. Repentance across the board. And the Lord might come again. Revive His church. And bring us back to God. A friend, closing the program of the Holy Ghost. Verse 8 of Acts chapter 1. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria. Christ sent the Holy Ghost that they might be witnesses unto Him. Not only in Jerusalem. That's where they were in Acts 2. Friends, that's where it begins. It begins in Jerusalem. It begins in your home congregation. Just to apply this morning in the prayer meeting. You need to get to it. Remember going here and Dr. Douglas preached one night. He was greatly challenged. And I'll just say what he said. He said, friend, what you're going to do for God, do it now. This is your moment. This is your moment to serve the Lord. Soon life's going to be passed for you. What you're going to do for the Lord, do it now. Do it now. Here they are in Jerusalem. Chapter 3 into chapter 7 of the Acts, they're in Judea. Chapter 8, they reach Samaria. Chapter 13 to 28 extends to the uttermost parts of the earth. Thank the Lord this morning. God has never withdrawn His Spirit. Never will. Friends, the outpouring of the Spirit at Pentecost can happen again. We need another outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We need another outpouring of the Holy Ghost. That He might bless our witnesses. Help us overcome the world and the devil. Be better witnesses unto Christ. The program was that we might be witnesses unto the end of the earth. Friend, let's wait on the Lord this morning. My time is gone. Let's learn the lessons of this chapter. Speak to the Lord before we speak for Him. Wait on God before we work for Him. Christ reigning, building His church. Friend, let's turn back to the Lord. Seek Him with all our hearts. Seek Him today. Let's not put it off any longer. Let's begin, even today when you go home, seek the Lord for that power of the Holy Ghost upon our lives. But friend, what if you're here and you're not saved? You know, you're not saved. You're not on your way to heaven. Your sins aren't forgiven. There's a breath between you and hell. A breath. Well, friend, this morning you must obey the exhortation here of Peter. And in Acts 3, you must repent, ye therefore. Be converted that your sins may be blotted out. You're not indwelt by the Spirit, as every believer is. And the Lord says of that man or woman that's not indwelt by the Spirit, of any man of not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. You're not the Lord's. And friend, that's a perilous situation to be in. For any man, you're not the Lord's. You don't belong to Christ. And in this meeting, friends, there's a dividing line. I don't know where it is. But the Lord knows. For the Lord knows them that are His. And He knows them that are not. If you're here and you're not saved, may God give you grace to get to Christ. But for us who are saved, the Lord tells us this morning, ye shall receive power. We must wait on Him for it. We must seek the Lord in our land like never before. And may God be pleased to come and grant us an outpouring of His Spirit. For that truly is today, friends, our great need. May God write His word in your hearts for His name's sake. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Maybe you're here and you're completely backslidden. And you knew that a time in your life the Lord was with you, He was blessing you. Some sin or other has come in, it's robbed you. Maybe friend, I'm speaking to one, and it has robbed you for years. Is it not time you get rid of it? Because what you're going to do for Christ, you've got to do it now. You've got to serve Him now. If you're not saved, and if you would like to speak of these things, you make that need known. It would be my joy, or any of this session here, to speak with you. Point you to Christ. May God give you grace to come. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word this morning. And we pray, O God, that we in our little province might know days of revival blessing. Might know days of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost upon our land. O Lord, leave us not to ourselves. Forgive us all our sins. Forgive us our sins that have grieved Thee and driven Thee from the church. O God, come and grant us Your presence again. And bless us. And do us good, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.